Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. This episode, we talk about the explosive growth of the modern game content, with some stretching over 500%, which might be too much for the modern gamer. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain. At the time of us recording this podcast, we were just coming off of an event, a local event, the Boise LAN.
Oh, yeah, that was so much fun.
Yeah, that was, well, that's a local LAN party that we have sponsored since Boise LAN 2, and they're on, what, 14 now?
Yeah.
Like that? And it's a really fun event. I mean, I would do some overclocking there. I brought in some fancy systems for people to check out. I would usually have a fancy build that everybody could walk by and see. And we always sponsored it with prizes. So we were helping keeping the old LAN party feeling alive.
Yeah, which is great because let me tell you, there's nothing like getting in a room full of crazy geeks and gaming 24/7 for a whole weekend. Although I'm not a young man anymore.
No. And even though it was sponsored or co-sponsored by Balls, there's no amount of caffeine that can get past that 2 a.m. Should I go to bed?
I know people sleep there, but...
Yeah, no. The event is actually really fun, and it's a great excuse to get out and meet some people that we interact with maybe once a year, twice a year, something like that, and see some other people that we might not have seen them very often. Overall, it was a great time. I don't like breaking down my main machine to bring, which is really what I should have done because, you know, a new build and everything and fancy lights and water cooling and 4090 and worth a whole lot of money and weighs like a metric poop ton. But instead, I put together a small form factor build and, you know, we played some really fun games.
Well, and I got your back because we brought two of our custom builds from my place with the water cooling and, the lights and custom paint and all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, we brought the one that we painted pearl white. I forget what we called
Porsche Carrera white.
Yeah, that was a really expensive paint job. But that was a fun project to put together. One, you know, because we got to paint and modify a computer case, you know, because it started as a View 31, had a plexiglass front. Mm-hmm. And then I put the other front on it. So we got the mesh and then painted the mesh plus the rest of the case. We effed up on installing some Carrera stickers.
It was a learning experience. We'll have to link to some of those articles or I think a podcast. But anyway, it'll be in the notes.
Yeah.
If you want to check out that build. And I am on the verge of a new build also. So
yeah.
More to come on that. Definitely. But we're talking LAN party. What that means, we're talking energy drinks. We're talking games. We're talking...
staying up late.
Pizza and and crazy geek madness. Mm-hmm. But overall, let's talk about what we played.
Yeah. Well, we played... actually, we just played two games, didn't we?
I think you're pretty... Well, I think I might have played more than you.
Oh, no. We did get in a third game. We played that animal...
Party Animals.
Party Animals, yeah. That. Oh, my God. That was a cluster. I didn't like that game at all.
It was silly fun, I thought.
Yeah. It took a little while to get used to, and I think you really needed to have a controller to get the most out of it.
That's probably accurate, but it did make for a good LAN party experience. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, you get, six or eight of us in there laughing and harassing each other and yelling across the room.
Yeah, and really it was more the environment that killed you instead of individual players picking you up and throwing you off a platform.
Don't know that I would love that as a single player or even a remote experience, but it was a great LAN game.
Yeah, definitely.
But you didn't love it, but what we played, I think, the most was Seven Days to Die.
7 Days to Die. It's been a while since we talked about 7 Days, and the game has come along, I would say, quite a bit since then. They changed a lot.
It's no longer an alpha, right? It seemed like it was an alpha for, you know, half my life.
Yeah. Well, it is. They did do an official release 1.
Ooh.
And they've been adding stuff to it. They changed a lot of the way that the progression works, some for good, some for bad.
Yeah, I missed the old experience system, but I get used to it.
Yeah, the core of the game is still there, though.
So before we go too far, I will stop you because you can get 7 Days to Die on a console, but please don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. Because when they released version 1, they were able to get some console developers to come in and do a co-release of the new software
right.
on a modern console. I'm not sure how you install it.
Well, I mean, it's a snapshot, so you don't get all the stuff. But part of the reason that we like 7 Days to Die so much is it's replayable mm-hmm. because you can start fresh every time. But maybe even more than that, because it has fairly robust mod support.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned that you didn't mention the end game portion of it.
Oh.
Yeah, because technically, in its current form, you can play 7 Days to Die indefinitely.
Forever.
Indefinitely.
And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, one of the achievements is if you survive to like level 300 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which, and there was also
crazy.
One.
Crazy.
There was, what was it, the Neil Armstrong achievement, which was walking.
Like
the distance.
100,000 miles, something like that.
Yeah, it's walking the distance from the Earth to the Moon.
So if you're a PC player and you like open world survival and you like zombies, you will like Zombicide most likely. Mm-hmm. And it's not expensive. But let's talk about the mod because we modded it up.
Yeah, we did. So I, admittedly, I've been watching some YouTube.
Oh, no.
One of the 7 Days to Die players that I've been watching has been playing the Escape from Tarkov mod. It's a total conversion. And in a sense, it changes some basic dynamics of the game, but adds a lot of guns.
Oh, my gosh. So many guns.
Like Matrix level guns. Lots of guns.
Well, I don't know if it's there, but you know, somewhere between Tarkov and Borderlands, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. The one annoyance is that when you're early games and squishy, you might get a mod part, but then you don't know what gun it goes to. And
true. And I found it a little confusing because I'm not a gun nut to figure out what ammo goes with what gun when you only have simple abbreviations.
Yeah. And so that was a bit of a learning curve, but, you know, that's part of the fun.
Right.
But we matched that with a new map that you could download that somebody created. I'll put the name of it down below so that you can get to it. But basically, they modeled New York City in 7 Days to Die.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, it was awesome. So we started in the city, which was annoying, and I don't know much about New York. And you can't tell where you are in New York on the map.
Yeah, because it's not a one-to-one conversion. It's just, a simulacrum, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't have the same buildings.
No, you can't. And a lot of them are custom POIs. There's some POIs from Vanilla, and then there's some POIs from PAX that got added and whatnot. But what's great is that every area was a different biome. So once we found Central Park, that was the green grasslands or the tree biome, right? And then if you go to Manhattan, it's the burnt biome. And then you go, I think it's the Queens or I don't know, somewhere else it becomes the wastelands.
And one of the boroughs is the winter and whatnot. So yeah, it has a lot of variety and very dense. It's very dense.
Yeah.
Unlike regular 7 Days to Die Vanilla where the buildings are not very close together, and you have some suburbs and some small cities.
The cities are smaller. You can definitely go to a main city in 7 Days to Die, and you will have increased zombie spawns and a lot more difficulty. But the cities are not encompassing an entire biome in an entire corner of the map, which is what made the New York map nice. Mm-hmm. And supposedly, we didn't experience this, but supposedly there's an entire subway system under the entire thing.
Well, we did see some tunnels, but we were still pretty squishy at that point.
Yeah, yeah. But that was actually fun. And really, that whole experience got me thinking about an article that I saw a little while ago from Games Radar.
Okay.
And it was titled Fallout and RPG? Yeah, that's the word. Veteran Josh Sawyer says most players don't want games 6 times bigger than Skyrim or 8 times bigger than The Witcher 3.
Wow. No, those are big numbers.
Yeah. And you know, I've played Skyrim.
Yeah.
I have lots of hours into Skyrim. And the thing that I liked about Skyrim was the fact that I could play it for many, many hours and always do something different.
Well, I think I remember even at one point in Skyrim wandering around the map looking for something collectible, mushrooms or flowers had to find to get one of the achievements, and you could just wander.
Yeah, like the Ninroot, the thing that would it would kind of sing to you when it got close.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, so you had to find a certain amount of those so you could redeem it for something, and then there was achievements for it. It's funny that I remember that. And so that got me thinking. It's like, well, what does that mean? Six times bigger than Skyrim, eight times bigger. So is that like open world, or is that like how long you play?
All right. So some of these can be misleading a little bit, because like 7 Days to Die doesn't really have an ending.
Right.
So you can play as long as you want. And we fairly regularly hit the reset button and start over with a different map or a different mod. And oh God, Dennis is pulling up his stats.
Yeah. So I pulled up my Steam stats, and I have 1,000 hours into 7 Days to Die. And Borderlands 2, which is a game that we talked about for like months and months, which was great.
I love Borderlands 2. In fact, I've played Borderlands 2 all the way through the story on both the console and the PC.
Oh, well, good for you. let's see. I have 875 hours in that. And then the next one down is Skyrim, and that split across two because I bought the special edition later.
Must have liked it.
I did. So I played 426 hours on vanilla Skyrim, and then an extra 161 hours in the special edition.
Okay.
Now, this was back in 2017, but still, that's a lot of time.
So let's put it in perspective. So I did a little research, mm-hmm. and easy Google.
Yeah.
Or there are a couple websites that will help you. Skyrim, mm-hmm. the completionist, to complete the whole thing, stats say takes 236 hours, which means that you've put enough time, I think, to beat the game completely. We're talking every side quest.
Uh-huh.
About twice.
And
almost three times.
Almost three times. And that checks out, because I think I played it once all the way through with one character. And then when I got the new edition, I did it again.
All right.
And then I also jumped back into the original one because there was a bunch of mods that were available for that version and not the special edition.
Another reason to get it on PC.
Like the Hearthstone or whatever, the one where you could build houses and stuff.
Yeah.
So I played it again and almost all the way through a third time.
Oh, and that doesn't even count because you didn't do VR, which is what gets most people back into it.
Right. But the thing with Skyrim is that there is a main quest. There's a main game, and there's various ways that you can complete it, and you can go be good or bad or whatever.
Right.
But then it technically never ends, because you can wander the map and unlock the entire thing and find something new each time. But then you will run into random encounters that will just be generated that aren't part of the story. And it might send you down a path to go and explore a cave or a dungeon or something like that. The dwarven ruins were the ones that I kept getting lost in. You know, I would spend like days down there, and it's because they were freaking huge. It was awesome.
All right, I'm a little scared, but let's pull up my stats.
Okay, so I've got to flip here, and
we're looking on Steam, so this won't count console time, which is maybe good.
Okay, so we got stats up.
I'm sure that listeners, longtime listeners, will be shocked that most of my playtime is in Battlefield 2042.
How many hours?
So this is the first two on these are going to be a little misleading, because I regularly have the Battlefield game open, but I'm not playing. If my wife's listening, a lot of the time. but it's if I play this week, I could hit 4,000 hours.
Yeah, so you got 3,946 at the time of this recording.
Holy cow. So I feel like now that's like my challenge. I'll have to leave it open. But the second game also, we've talked about this on the podcast too, is the original Dungeon Defenders, which I loved from a puzzle standpoint, and longtime listeners will also know that I had figured out how to go into the survival mode, which basically you beat a level and then it restarts a little harder and then restarts a little harder and goes and goes and goes. And I got to the point where I could build defenses on a couple of specific maps and then go to work. Ooh. And sometimes I would come home and I was still playing. They hadn't beat me yet.
Oh, yeah. That would be fun to watch, actually.
Which is pretty entertaining. I don't know if I could still do that, or even if the game has changed. Now, I've tried some of the newer Dungeon Defenders games, and there are a couple of them, and they just didn't scratch the itch.
Oh, well, maybe what we'll have to do is set up a Twitch broadcast. And then what you can
have to practice.
Yeah, you can do a Dungeon Defenders thing, and then we can just go AFK and let it play and let people talk and stuff.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah. So the next one, you and I played most of this together, is 7 Days to Die.
Yeah.
I have about 483 hours in that. Mm-hmm. Borderlands 2, 409. Team Fortress 2, which I used to play competitively.
How many do I have in Borderlands? Let's look.
Oh, God. Wow, you're way more than me. Of course, that doesn't count my console time.
Oh, that's true.
So on mine, we need to find Skyrim. No, because I played Skyrim mostly on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
So my numbers aren't there. So I'm going to say I didn't play it very much, which is totally not true because I beat it twice.
Yeah. You got Team Fortress 2, almost 380 hours.
Yeah, and that's probably misleading too because I used to play it before it was on Steam also. But I got No Man's Sky at 172, Sid Meier at 119. I was hoping I'd be able to compare Skyrims to you, but I can't.
We got Dying Light. So this was Dying Light was a game that we would normally play co-op. Right. I know I did some hours on my own. You have 212 and I have, you have a, not 212, 112.
Yeah.
I have 140.
Yeah, but you made the effort to beat all the different expansions and I kind of was over it after beating the core game.
Yeah. Dying Light was one of those games like Skyrim where you could just wander around the city and engage. Or you could choose to, you know, play at night as a stalker and stuff like that. So there was a lot that you could do with that game to extend.
And you could invade your friends' games if they would let you, which was kind of clever. Most games don't do that.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the article because I know he mentions a couple of them, but I want to talk about some of the longest games that we've played. And so I looked some of these up.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to run a couple of them by you.
Okay.
The other big ones are the Fallout games that I played the heck out of. Still occasionally we'll pull out. Fallout 4 takes about 206 to beat every quest. That's completionist.
Yep.
Fallout New Vegas, trending downward about 131. Mm. Now people ask, well, what about, some of the older games? So,
Yeah, because it's like, you know, playing for a long time is not just a new game thing.
So I brainstormed a couple that I spent a ton of time on. I think you and I both did. Baldur's Gate 3 being the most recent, which in contrast takes between 75 and 100 depending on which path you take.
Right.
But some of these older games, Morrowind, right?
Oh, yeah. That's the one that I never got into Morrowind. I started with Skyrim. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to go back and play that one, but so, I'm a little scared.
Basically any Bethesda game, right? But in contrast, Morrowind, the completest, is 338 hours. Wow. But let's take some games that aren't RPGs. There are a couple of them, right? So like Doom. You're a huge Doom fan.
Yep.
Doom Eternal. If you want to beat the core game, about 27 hours.
Yep.
Which ironically for us old schoolers was about the same amount of time that it took to beat Bard's Tale, which is kind of the original 3D RPG game.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, part of it was that there wasn't a hint system in Bard's yeah. Tale, so it was really difficult to know what to do sometimes.
So I want to throw one more in there because if you take the top games for playtime over the last couple of years, the big award winners. Of course, mm-hmm. we already mentioned Baldur's Gate with that up to 100.
Yeah.
But Elden Ring is the other one that a lot of folks talk about. 134 hours is the completionist, which was kind of a surprise.
Yeah, that was, yeah. Well, and especially for a game that you kind of have to play online.
Well, yeah. And I know some of those challenges are really difficult. So, of course, it'll be longer or shorter depending on how difficult you find it. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I researched, and we'll get the link to the article, is the difference between some of these older games and newer games.
Oh, and, right.
So we've got a great article from IGN here. I'm just going to get to the snippet that I like here in the middle. How much longer have games gotten? And they compiled some of the longest running franchises. And I'm going to share these stats, and I'm just going to kind of laundry list them a little bit. The big ones are Breath of the Wild is 525 times longer than Legend of Zelda was.
I know Legend of Zelda. I'm not familiar with Breath of the Wild, but I'm going to assume they're both kind of the same adventure.
Yeah, I mean, it's the new one.
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody, I think, knows about Mario. Super Mario Odyssey, one of the latest releases, is also 525 times longer than Super Mario Brothers. And don't get me started on speedrunners there. I think that was beat this week at about a minute and 32, if I'm not mistaken.
It's something crazy.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla, one of the latest Assassin's Creeds, 303 times longer than the original Assassin's Creed. I think I gave up on Assassin's Creed Black Flag, I think. I hear they've gotten good.
Yeah. I couldn't get into Assassin's Creed, but I'm not a third-person game player.
All right, Dennis, this one's for you.
Yay.
Doom Eternal. Not really Eternal, but it is 190 times longer than original Doom.
That I could believe, because with Doom Eternal, they basically took Doom 2016 and then added a pseudo-RPG element to it, where you're going around collecting things and you go into different areas and different objectives. It made the game longer, even though they didn't add much to it.
All right, well, let's talk about a big console hitter again. Mm-hmm. God of War Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah.
Highly rated. Mm-hmm. 189 times longer than God of War.
Yep.
GTA 5, 142 times longer than original Grand Theft Auto, which was really small. Yeah. And of course, GTA 6 is coming, and they claim it's going to be much bigger even than that.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, I think.
Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy, for you JRPG guys, 15 is 69% longer than the original Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
For you horror fans out there, Resident Evil Village, which I haven't played, but I've spent a lot of time in the original. The original Resident Evil Village is 30% longer than the original.
Yeah.
And then lastly, because everybody in the world plays Pokemon, it seems like, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, this one the exception, only 19% longer than Pokemon Red and Blue.
Well, it's because the colors are slightly different.
Or of course, you can just play Pokemon Go, because it never ends.
Yeah, it definitely never ends. Yeah. The thing here, though, is that we have like the original game that made the genre popular, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden the developers have gone above and beyond to add more to the next title. And I want to say that that's a trend with games just in general, because mm-hmm. it's like we have it popular and we want to keep the train going. So how do we do that? Well, we have to amp it up.
Right.
And
well, the next one's got to be bigger and better, right, to sell. I mean, that's kind of the trend that I think that he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's reached the point where, you know, some of these folks, they never play. So, you know, I don't have as much time as I used to play games. And it reflects on my game library that most of those games are older.
Yeah.
So much like Sawyer's argument here, I might get 50, 60, 80% through a game before I'm tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
The next game's come out, or, you know, sometimes even it's just reached the point where I can't complete it because I can't beat something, I can't find something, I missed something, and I'm just over it.
Yeah. Well, case in point, I got frustrated with Doom Eternal because of the way that they set the progression through the game.
Right.
So it would give you training wheels for the first part of it, and that was really the trainer to kind of teach you how the game works. But then when they got to the point where, okay, we're going to pull the training wheels off you, it really was just a cliff of difficulty.
Oh, wow.
And it got to the point where it's like, well, to actually get through an area, you have to kill like 3 cacodemons, right? The only way to kill the cacodemon is to shoot a grenade into its mouth. And then you have to do a glory kill so that you get some of your ammo back. Otherwise, you can't complete the mission you don't have enough ammo.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. That's kind of in that same Elden Ring, you know, it's very, very challenging to learn how to beat the bosses. But I mean, I kind of get it. So I find myself, because I have less time,
mm-hmm.
playing games sometimes on an easier difficulty level.
Yeah.
So that I can enjoy the gameplay without the frustration.
Right.
And I never thought I'd be that guy, Dennis.
Well, there comes a time when you play a game to be competitive because you find the competitive nature of it fun. I remember in college, I was really into playing Quake, and I would get online and actually frag a bunch of people, and I felt good because I was better than those players. But we tried playing Titanfall.
Oh, yeah.
And we were 2 weeks after the launch. We got a hold of Titanfall, and it had advanced to the point where you were completely uncompetitive if you had not joined when it first dropped.
Oh, and there's so many like that too. If you if you miss that early opportunity window, which is why they sell early access so often.
Yeah. It's like, get in and learn how to play and beef up your character, because by the time that this game drops, you're the only ones that are going to be able to dominate.
Right. And a perfect example, we played some Path of Exile, the original Path of Exile at the LAN party, because it's free to play. So it was pretty easy to get a crew in and playing it. But I've been playing at home Path of Exile 2, and it's in early access. So it's not free. You have to pay for that early access pass. And I honestly find myself enjoying it, but sometimes I'm stuck and I have to go back and farm to get a little stronger so I can beat a boss to progress the storyline. And sometimes I'm like, I don't want to run this dungeon 3 or 4 more times to get some better drops.
Yeah.
You know, can I just, you know, push the nuke button and move on? And I think that is the challenge that we're all facing. Games are longer, they're harder.
Yeah.
525%. That's huge.
That's huge. Well, and speaking of Path of Exile, you had mentioned that it was a lot like a Diablo clone.
Yes.
And I could see that immensely. I mean, it was like kind of the way that Diablo 4 was. It got built into the new version that we were playing.
Sure.
But the skill tree, oh my God, the tree was huge.
Oh,
in terms
yeah.
of the way that you were leveling. And, you know, if you make one wrong step with your particular character, then you become really weak and squishy when you go into try and progress the story.
Right.
And it's really artificially inflating difficulty to make it seem like there's more gameplay.
Well, and there's a lot of content because that game's been out for a lot of years
now.
Yeah, it's huge. But early on, I think I kind of agree with you. If you don't have the right build or the right gear, now fortunately, you don't have to get very far into the game before you can respec, but it comes at a cost.
Yeah.
So I think I feel it, Josh. I feel it.
I
mean,
feel it. Now,
I want the games to be big because I want, you know, a lot of content. I mean, I was talking to my son about this and I asked him, you know, what's an acceptable amount of time to feel like you got your money's worth out of a game now?
Mm-hmm.
As a teenager, his response was, if I can beat it before the weekend is over, then I'm probably going to want to refund it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So what does that mean? Maybe 12, 16 hours, right?
Yeah, if they don't go outside.
As kind of a threshold. So I said, well, you know, how much has too much? And he kind of didn't have a good answer because his attention span isn't like some of us. Well, he's looking at the hot new games all the time because he's actively in that culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to continue to play a game, and there are a few that he revisits, he's a big Rainbow Six Siege fan, for example, and Rocket League he plays ranked in.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Minecraft, which I'd argue doesn't really have to end ever.
No, it has an ending, but you could play that one forever. Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, it's what's this week's hot new game all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the attention span? What's the desire for a game? He's really looking at something that if it lasts 2 or 3 weeks, then he's very satisfied.
Yeah, he got his money's worth. And I would reinforce that and say that some of the games that I've played the most, and you know, my Steam stats reflect this, are ones that have what I would call replayability.
Right.
So for instance, Borderlands 2, that had an amazing story. And while we've known the story and we've heard it over and over and over again, the fact that you can play it and actually still have fun playing through the entire thing.
Oh yeah.
It really is a testament to the way that the writers put the game together and how the variability of the game was perfectly balanced.
Absolutely.
So every time you play, you know, obviously you're doing something different.
Well, and I think we've collectively played all the Borderlands, and I've beaten all of them except for the silly mobile stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have high points and low points, but I mean, really, Borderlands 2 is crazy cheap. Mm-hmm. You should go buy and play this game, especially if you have 3 other friends that you can get interested in it.
Yeah. And if you want to learn the lore, play Borderlands 1.
Right.
I played that one through completed it once, but I never went back to replay it. And you played that one at a couple of LAN parties at your house several times. And that's something that I think had I played it in that sort of an environment, I might have gotten some replayability out of it.
Well, you tend to be more of a solo player, though, usually, and that game really excels with 4.
Yeah, that's true. It really was designed to play with 4 people.
Well, I think if nothing else, what I've learned here is that games maybe have gotten too big. So it's a balance point for me between cost and content. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time spending $80, $90, $100 on a game that doesn't have a ton of content. So I'm sympathetic.
Yeah. Or spending $40 on it and then having to spend $200 on DLC just to get the most out of it.
Gosh. Or gosh, can you imagine paying $60, $70 for a hot new title and beating it in a day?
Oh, yeah.
So there's a balance point there. So I think, you know, if you're out there and you're playing some of these bigger games like Witcher or Skyrim or even Elden Ring, let us know. Do you feel like you got your money's worth? Was it too long? Would you do it again?
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or subscribe to us on YouTube. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2025. Thanks for listening.